What's up, YouTubeanites? Welcome to Lords of Longbox Fantasy Cup Price Top 10 for the week ending 4/22/2024. While you guys are congregating, let's get you in the mood, shall we? What's up, YouTube nights? Welcome to Lords of Longbox. It's a Cup Price 10. Speaking of liking stuff, Marty, say what's good to the people.
Hey, welcome, everybody. Welcome, Chasters, man. We hope we have a great time on our show tonight. We guarantee it, if not, your money back, right, Lady Laura?
I still like that. First time I had to think about it, I was like, what does he mean? But then it clicked.
Speaking of which, Lady Laura, say what's good to the people.
Hi, guys. Welcome in. Yeah, it's always fun to have the full crew here. Well, I guess we're missing JB, but I got Marty and I got TiVo, so it's going to be a good night.
That's right. Let's get right to it, boys and girls. Just spot our friends over at coverprice.com for your price guides, collections, and trends. On head on over to coverprice. Excuse me, cut.com. Sorry, I'm a little under weather.
Oh, buddy, you sound terrible.
Thank you. Use discount code LO. You go to Bird City Comics. Use discount code LOTLB to get 15% off anything in the Bird City Comics store. And Laura,
yeah, somebody did today. Actually, I saw it pop up. I was like, oh, the Lord's code.
About time. Nice. What is this?
All right, guys, I know this says pre-launch, but you missed the pre-launch. These are the four books that we're going to have at C2E2. We are booth number 1316. So obviously we have the iconic Batgirl 23 done by Middleton. That is a foil reprint. And then we got Jenny Frizzin to do her rendition along with Derek Chu. And then the Night of the Feral Cats is the Feral issue 1/100 foil. And all four of them will be at our booth along with the creators, Trish Forstner and Tony Fleece. They're going to be doing signatures and remarks.
Nice. I like the one in the lower left-hand corner. Who did that cover?
David Middleton. Lower left. That's Middleton.
Yeah, that's the original. That's the other ones are the homage to the David Middleton one.
The OG, yeah.
What booth are you guys at?
1316. We're right next to CGC. So if you find the CGC booth and just turn the corner, we're right there. Easy. Yeah, we got a corner there.
Prime real estate right there.
So, I know. I was really excited about that. I was like, damn, we got a good spot.
1316. So You guys never know. That may be the answer to a trivia question to win some stuff. Just saying, always pays Maybe. Attention to listen to the Lord. So anyway, this is the Cover Price Top 10 for the week ending 4/22. We look at the the biggest sales by both price and percentage. And let's kick things off. I will admit, this is mutant heavy, but let's get right to it.
All right, jumping right in. Almost made the list. At number 11, we have Spider-Woman number 6. This is the Riki Yagawa 1 in 25 from this year. Spider-Woman starts on the front of this soon-to-be iconic cover by Yagawa. This book doesn't need to be a key or have any movie rumors behind it. It's just a remarkable piece of comic book art. She is illustrated in an awesome pose, clinging upside down to the side of a building and located high among the skyscrapers. The bold lines accentuate her features and illustrate a highly desired cover for Spider-Woman fans. We tracked 9 copies sold at a 7-day trend of 60%, with a high sale of $50 for a raw near mint copy and a current raw fair market value of about $38.
Yeah, I miss this version of Spider-Woman. Harkens back to the old Spider-Woman cartoons. I don't know if you guys remember those.
I do remember those. Yeah, they were very short-lived, though.
Yeah. Speaking of which, is it too soon already?
Bam. Never too good. Never too
good. Yeah. So nothing really in general, but I went on an anime kick, so I have Crunchyroll. So I was on there. I was watching some interesting stuff, some weird shit on there too. But then I was like, oh, let me check this out. It was a couple seasons. It's like 50 fucking episodes per season, you know, because they were coming out like either daily or weekly or some shit in Japan, right? It was nutso, but but it's Crunchyroll is worth it, man. If you want to pay a little bit and get all the classic, they have all the classic anime, new anime. Nothing really too over the top. There's some ichi stuff, but nothing like close to hentai. Do you know what ichi means, Laura?
No, like you need to scratch it,
Marty.
I know. I know what hentai is, though.
No, ichi is like more suggestive than it is just full-blown nudity. Yeah, so your word of the day. So go ahead and Google ichi. That right after the show, guys. All right,
Spider-Man. Get a pirate six. Right after the show.
Spider-Woman number 6, the Riki Yagawa, 1 in 25. Raw damn, $50 for a raw dog.
Yeah.
Man, this thing never goes away. What's number 10?
Bringing it in onto the top 10, we've got Spawn number 1 by Image, published in 1992. Now, Spawn's ability to appear on this list is uncanny. He's a routine fixture for good reasons. He's routinely king of the aftermarket, rocks good sales on the current ongoing titles, has a movie coming out at some point, and has an amazing action figure line. For a Hellspawn, he's got it going on. Despite having millions of copies of this book floating around, it has steadily risen in value over the years with no end in sight. We tracked 33 copies sold at a 7-day trend of 13% with a high sale of $170 for a CGC 9.8 and a current raw near mint fair market value of $27.
Will we ever see the light of day of this movie? I mean, it's been like
we will. Forever. We will one of these days. We will.
If Todd McFarlane gets over his own ego, because remember he wanted to write and direct it and everything, but then he finally went to Blumhouse. He's like, I could do this movie with $10 million. I was like, are you kidding me? There's episodes on TV that have cost more than $10 million, and he wants to do a whole movie. You know what I mean? It's kind of raised some eyebrows. So I'm glad Blumhouse stepped in. Blumhouse is obviously famous for doing all the horror films. So, you know, at least that's what I heard last. So, although I did see Spawn and some crazy game that Spawn was in and a bunch of other characters in it. Fucking Skeletor and some other shit. I don't know
what it was.
Yeah, dude. What it's nuts, about? Man.
E-man on just, there too? Or?
It was just popped up my feed, man. It was Spawn. It was Skeletor. Have been some Mortal Kombat characters. It may have been Pikachu. I don't know, man. It was just...
Man. You're just... It's like a total...
But it was animated, and it was like it was a game, and it was just like, wow, is this a movie? And like, no,
like a vomit of characters there.
It is. All right. Number 10 on list, spot number one, CGC 9.8 for $170. What do we have for number nine?
All right. At number nine, we have X-Men Deadly Genesis number one, the Joe Quesada from 2006. The most recent episode of X-Men 97 gave us a peek at a long-lost Summers brother, Vulcan. Gabriel Summers was born into slavery on the Shi'ar throne world. He would later be aged up to peak physical form and have his powers manifest. His powers are similar to those of his older brother's energy manipulation powers, but he has a little bit more edge. Most viewers likely don't know he existed, but now they find themselves trying to track down his first appearance in this book. Let's see. It was a very brief appearance, but still, he's a fascinating character, and there are a ton of eyes on him thanks to the show. We tracked 17 copies sold at a seven-day trend of 36%, with a high sale of $160 for a CGC 9.8 and a current raw near mint fair market value of $12. I haven't finished the show, so I can't really speak to this. I saw episode one and two, though.
Yeah, and the comics, Vulcan is a badass. I mean, he is uber, uber powerful. And how dope was that to see Gladiator? Oh, man, that was dope. I mean, that's straight out of the original comics and the original show was Gladiator from the Imperial Guard. But yeah, I'm pretty sure you may see another something pop up just because of that show. Matter of fact, it's next.
Oh, look at this. Number eight brings you Miss Marvel number nine, published by Marvel, 1977. Ah, Deathbird, the Head Pigeon. Seriously, X-Men 97 did the character dirty with that one. But the dig doesn't take away her importance to the series. Charles Xavier's new beau, Leandra, has a sister who kind of sucks. That would be Deathbird, the one trying to force Charles into renouncing his love of Earth and beloved X-Men. She's an
almost
character throughout most of Marvel's history, but her recent appearance in the series propelled fans into tracking down her first appearance on the aftermarket. She's primed to be a significant antagonist going forward into the series. Some fans want to get ahead of the game if that happens. We tracked 24 copies sold at a seven-day trend of 75%, the high sale of $21 for a fine raw copy, and a current raw near-mint fair market value of $17.
Yeah, so Miss Marvel number nine. Yeah, Deathbird.
He's on that word. I had, you know, even when I rehearsed it, I was like, fine, no problem. Going live? Nah, not a big deal.
This isn't an easy gig, Marty. This is harder than it looks, right?
Yeah, right.
Don't beat yourself up. You did great.
No, I'm
trying to find that word that you're trying to say. Kind of sucks. Renouncing.
Ancillary. I like the way Marty says it better, honestly. I'll go with Marty's way.
Ancillary means like a side character. Yeah, now you guys got me saying it wrong. Them both. All right. Oh, more surprises.
I know, right? This is great. It's a very mutant-filled week. Number seven, we have X-Men Adventures number one from 1992. X-Men 97 has been crushing it. It's been some of the best work Marvel and Disney have put out in years, and the demographic it catered to is eating it up. Of course, we see a spike in the comic adaptation of the original 90s cartoon featuring the distinctive art style and costume design. It also gave us the first appearance of a fan favorite hero, Morph, who also returned for X-Men 97 after being MIA for some time. It's a cheap key that many fans are returning to as another piece of their childhood to hold on to. And at a great price. We tracked 21 copies sold at a seven-day trend of 87%, with a high sale of $29 for a raw, very fine copy, and a current raw, near-mint, fair market value of $17. You have this, yes. Right, Tito? You have to.
I've been speculating on this way before they even announced there was a show, because I had seen an interview where the original creators were saying, like, yeah, you know, we're in talks, but, you know, if something comes about, it'll happen. That where there's smoke, there's fire. So I bought like six copies and then I sold them all. So.
Did you?
Wow. Oh, you sold them? No.
Yeah, I had a newsstand too. So I had newsstand and direct stand.
It hurts my heart. Hurts my heart.
Still on the list is X-Men Adventures number one. We have for number six. Oh.
Oh, beautiful. Another. Number six is Wonder Woman number eight, of course, by Joshua Sway Swaby. This is the 1-in-25 variant. Published by DC in 2024. This Wonder Woman run has been quietly building a fan base, but a lot more hopped on board when this 1-in-25 variant from Joshua Sway dropped. Of all the variants for this book, of which there were three, this has been the most popular. It's a stunning depiction of Diana, the one fans are willing to pay a premium price to add it to their personal collection. We track 21 copies sold at a 7-day trend of 105%, with a high sale of $62 for a raw near mint copy and a current raw near mint fair market value of $58.
So you can say Joshua Sway Swaby, but you can't say ancillary.
Ancillary. You can't say ancillary either.
Ancillary.
You both can't say ancillary.
How do you say it?
Ancillary.
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 He's screwing it in top two, man.
Wonder Woman number eight coming in at number six. Joshua Sway Swaby, 1-in-25 variant.
It's gorgeous. I think the composition's perfect, and this is one of those timeless pieces that everybody's going to want to own. Absolutely. And slab.
It's like a piece of art, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
Cool. Yeah. Gorgeous. I'm wondering who he got as his muse.
He has to have somebody.
Must have been Laura.
I like her nose, too. Like, her nose isn't perfect, but it looks authentic. You know what I mean?
The expression on her face, you know, kind of leads you into, well, what is she thinking, you know?
Yeah, her boobs aren't too big and her lips aren't like overblown or made. Yeah, it looks realistic. Yeah. Like somebody definitely posed for it. All right. Halfway there, boys and girls. What do we have for number five? Oh, dig
that. Okay, number five, we have Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, The Last Ronin, cover A. This is from IDW back in 2020. All right, let's go. One of the most celebrated TMNT stories of the last decade is getting the adaptation treatment. Paramount is set to release a bloody live-action depiction, while we're also set to get a AAA title. TMNT is back on the upswing with new and old fans looking at the title. It's a modern key for many, and now that it's getting such a spotlight, more are opting to make this book part of their PC. We tracked 32 copies sold at a 7-day trend of 5%, with a high sale of $350 for a CGC 9.8 and a current raw near mint fair market value of $149.
Yeah, I don't know how. I mean, to do an R-rated live action version, you need to put a lot of money into that. You know what I mean? To make the
turtle, a lot of CGI, man.
Yeah.
Oh, I think it's good. Yeah. I think it's gonna be awesome. I think it's gonna really. It's going to please fans because sometimes it can be a little bit too kiddish. And if you've read The Last Ronin, this is a really intense, serious book.
Yeah. I'm liking the darkness to it, really, to be honest.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert. He's the lone surviving turtle. And if you notice at the cover, he's got all their weapons.
It almost demands an R-rated adaptation, don't you think?
What's AAA? What's a AAA series? I don't get that. Is that?
I'm not really sure. I was going to ask you that. AAA title. I don't know.
I have no idea. No. Maybe the American Automobile Association.
Let's ask the chatsters out there. Do you guys know what AAA is?
Adult only? No, that doesn't work either.
AAA title. I don't know. Chad, you have to know. He's in the chat. Chad, what does AAA title mean?
All right. Well, you guys look that up. Number five in list video is The Last Ronin, number one. All right. What do we have for number four?
Number four brings you New X-Men, number 14, our very favorite cover, of course, right, TiVo? Published by Marvel in 2001. Cassandra Nova first appeared in this book, the quasi-evil twin of Professor Xavier. Rumor has been persistent for months that she will be the main villain in Deadpool and Wolverine, and those rumors may be correct. We got the first full trailer for the upcoming flick, and it sure looks like Cassandra Nova telepathically shoves Wolverine's claws into the ground. That, and it appears Cassandra Nova may be behind the destruction of Genosha in X-Men 97. That's all the more reason for this book to be on this list. as fans are taking another look. We track 24 copies sold at a 7-day trend of 8% with a high sale of $160 for a CGC 9.8 and a current raw near mint fair market value of $18.
Yeah. Dang. So new X-Men number one. Yeah. What can I say? You know, it's but definitely she has a, you got a better look on her in the brand new trailer I just dropped, like, I think yesterday or the day before that.
Yeah. And everybody's dissecting that. It already. Like, yeah. Clip that's by clip, they're pausing it. It's crazy.
That's what YouTubers do. Well, thank God they didn't make her look like she does in the comics, because in the comics she's downright triple A, or excuse me, ugly as scary looking. She's like all scarred up. Looks like they just gave her a bald head, maybe a couple scars in that. So, you know, there we go. Triple A and video game references titles that have produced value like God of War and The Last of Us. Interesting. Yeah, I wouldn't have known that.
Okay. Thank you, Hyper Combo Comics.
Adds something to the next to the lexicon that we need to know about. What do we have for number three?
Okay. So this is the X-Men 130, the direct edition from 1980. Taylor Swift's recent album release, The Tortured Poets Department, is already heating up the music world. And while you wouldn't think comic books and a new Swift album would intersect, here we are. Per CNN, the first time we've referenced the news station on our top 10, said this, beginning of the quote, "The chorus for the song Clara Bow, or Bow, may or may not be an Easter egg for Swifties and Marvel fans alike, who have long speculated that Swift will appear in her friend Ryan Reynolds' sure-to-be blockbuster Deadpool 3 as a musically gifted mutant named Dazzler. Telling lyrics include promise to be dazzling in the final line. The future's bright, dazzling," end quote. That was enough to send Dazzler back to the top of the list this week. We tracked 17 copies sold at a 7-day trend of 38% with a high sale of $380 for a CGC 9.6 and a current raw near mint fair market value of $144. So since her lyrics said dazzling, boom, that's all it took.
Good job, Laura. That was an easy read.
CNN reported that the chorus for the song Clara Bow may or may not be an Easter egg to Swifties and Marvel fans who loves speculating. Oh my God. Talk about, there's somebody at CNN who knows about it. Jeez. Just imagine if CNN dropped
CNN?
It.
CNN? Really?
I still think Laura should dress up as a Disco Dazzler for Halloween.
I wouldn't mind doing that, actually. That'd be kind of fun. Get my roller skates on. I'm down.
Yeah, you have to get a
it's easy too. Orange
wig.
Yeah, nice long orange wig.
Skin tight suit and a little funky mask and, you know, disco lights around you, and you'll be fine. It's perfect.
Easy peasy. The kids will love it.
Oh, I'm sure the kids will really love it when you come knocking the door and the husbands are getting slapped by their wives. All right, number three on the list is X-Men number 130, 9.2 and a 9.2 for 400. What do we have for number two?
Oh, yes. Interesting. This has not been on the list for quite some time. Number two brings you Wolverine number one, published by Marvel in 1988. Now that we have a full-fledged trailer for Deadpool and Wolverine, fans have collectively pored over the footage and cast announcements, just like what you just said, Laura, you know.
Yeah.
In previous release footage, we caught a glimpse of the backside of a certain Wolverine variant dressed in the iconic attire of Patch. Patch was the alternate identity for Wolverine as he worked in Madripoor, with his first appearance rocking that persona debuting in this book. There's a wild rumor that we may see variants of Wolverines in the film, including fan choice Daniel Radcliffe. Could that be his physique filling out the Patch costume? Only time will tell. We track 21 copies sold at a 7-day trend of 33% with a high sale of $178 for a CGC 9.6 and a current raw near mint fair market value of $44.
So can Harry Potter do it? Can he do it? Can he get all ripped? No. I think he can. There was a movie where he was shirtless and he had like an 8-pack. It's doable.
He's done some weird stuff after Harry Potter. Like, he's like, I'm going to go totally off the rails here. I'm going to play, you know, just crazy roles. Like, I think he did some crazy shit on Broadway that was like, way out there, you know, and they tried to distance himself from Harry Potter. Really, he's like, I'm an adult now. I don't know what happened.
I think he went full frontal on Broadway. Then he did like a horror movie too.
Yeah, I wonder what happens from Rhymey.
She did a couple of movies that I can think of, but then she kind of just simmered away.
Every time
she was in, she was in a Family Feud episode. I saw that one time.
I remember it was a movie about like the end of the world with Seth Rogen and all those guys, and Hermione makes a guest appearance in there. And
yeah,
one of the characters says Hermione just gacked her shit. Ganked her shit.
Yeah. What movie is that? Oh man, I've seen it too, but I can't remember what it's called.
Yeah, I remember that show. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like the end of the world. James Franco's in it. Jonah Hill's in it. Seth Rogen is in it. Yeah.
That whole crew.
Yeah, that whole crew, man. It's hilarious. It's like the end of the world shit. And you'll see like a 200-foot Satan with a huge swinging gong. You know, and that's I remember ridiculous. That. Channing Tatum was actually was in that also. He was like what do they call those guys that, you know, like in Pulp Fiction with, you know, dressed up on all leather with a ball in his mouth.
This is the end. That's what it's called.
Submissive.
I suggest you watch that. Do not watch it with your kids.
Do not watch it with your kids. Yeah, just go in your room. I mean, you'll have a good time.
It is fun. It is a fun movie. I mean, it just shows how Hollywood actors would act if the end of the world was coming. And then there was like, it's Satan. He goes, yeah, but I'm Jewish though. You know, and it like just goes on and on and on, and James Franco, and it's like it's just hilarious. Number two on the list is Wolverine number one, CGC 9.6, $178. All right, no, can only be number one.
Number one, here we go. Dazzler number one from 1981. Yeah,
this looks more like you. This looks like Dirty Blonde, like you.
I could maybe pull. I'd have to do like a fake tan though.
Strawberry blonde.
I mean your hair, Dirty Blonde, not you as a Dirty Blonde. And again, I don't know how you live your life.
Oh, anyway, Dazzler is back on top.
Right.
Well, the official Deadpool 3 trailer releases no sign of Tay-Tay, the market sure is hopeful that she will appear in the film. Fans were waiting with bated breath for an announcement, but none has come so far. However, we're in the endgame now. Dazzler popped up briefly in X-Men 97, causing a stir. And there's been a follow-up with Taylor Swift's newest album, with her final lyric being dazzling. What a coincidence. The comic collective muttered when hearing that for the first time. That caused Dazzler to dazzle on the aftermarket once again. We tracked 42 copies sold at a 7-day trend of 133%, with a high sale of $99 for a raw near mint copy and a current raw near mint fair market value of $13.
Whoa, Daniel, get your mind out of the gutter. Dirty Blonde means the color of their hair.
Oh my God.
Not well, it could mean other thing else, but that's on our Shaker show. So make sure you check out the Shaker show.
Hey, don't forget to comment too. You guys got a comment, you know? So make sure you comment.
Actually, we're gonna give away some in the live chat, Miss Laura. Did you know that?
Oh,
I'm gonna ask a question and we're gonna give away.
I'm like bright red.
How about a set of these?
Well, the Middletons I can't do because we literally don't have enough of them. But I could do a set of the two on the top. And then for a separate winner, if you want to do two giveaways, we could do one for the 1 in 100. Or they could get all three. Your call.
You know what?
Very generous. If
they answer this question, they get all three.
All right.
All right. Just hit up Laura on IG, and I'm going to ask a question. Tell her what a dirty blonde she is, and she'll gladly send those out to you. So this is a deep cut, because I even asked these guys, and you guys say it's
we had no clue.
Unwanted gifts. If you want, the other giveaway will be on Thursday, so make sure you tune in that one. But you'll have to leave a comment to be entered into that one. Right. This one is just a question straight up, okay? And just start line. Right. We all knew Dave Filoni is, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So what show did Dave Filoni did Dave Filoni work on when George Lucas plucked him away and said, hey, I want you to do Star Wars stuff? And it was just a few episodes. It wasn't like anything crazy.
All right. So Dave Filoni was poached from what show?
Yeah, he was doing some other stuff, but then George Lucas noticed that work, and he's like, you know what? I want you to do. It's not anything to do with Star Wars.
Yeah, we had no clue either. Match. Marty and I were like,
awesome buddies,
Fringe, Lord of the bosom Rings, buddies.
Fringe. Oh, okay, Clone
Wars. There we go. H and H.
There we go.
Avatar. Oh, the last Airbender.
So H and H.
Good job.
That's
man.
My go-to H&H. When I want to just zone out is I watch Avatar and I watch Legend of Korra. I'm watching Legend of Korra again, but the Avatar show is great in itself. And then you're seeing like the names on the credits. Like I was watching it, and it was either Legend of Korra or Avatar. But it was the same thing though. It was Dave Filoni directed, and I was like, wow, that's pretty awesome that he did that, you know. And yeah. So now you know George Lucas noticed him and says, hey, I'm doing this thing called Clone Wars. You want to do it? He goes, sure enough. And he was originally working on King of the Hill, right? Hmm. And the guys from King of the Hill said, hey, George Lucas wants to talk to you. He goes, yeah. He thought they were joking. And then George Lucas says, hey, man, I want you to work with him. He goes, later, you know. So, but, you know, the guys were like, hey, man, congratulations to you going from King of the Hill to Star Wars. So it's pretty monumental change, I would say.
Yeah,
I mean, you left the leap, man. You're like, you know, pass go here, man, and you're like there.
Well, I mean, King of the Hill is not really made for kids either. You know what I'm saying? And then Clone Wars is somewhat, you know what? There's kiddie themes, but it got really like dark in some places. You know what I'm saying? Like I remember when the Clone Wars movie first came out, everybody hated Ahsoka. Right, they go, who is this character, Snips? Why the hell is she in my Star Wars? Blah blah blah, get off my lawn. And then next thing you know, she's a badass and she's kicking ass. And next thing you know, she's live action, man. So, speaking of live action, Laura, what do you got going on tonight?
Right after this, the girls and I are covering homage covers, starting from like the very beginning and kind of moving through time with those. It's gonna be an interesting one. So.
What's the first homage?
It's like, I don't remember the title, but it's this Indian dude fighting a guy with a flag.
Holy shit.
Actually, no, many, watch the show, then you'll find out.
How many are you all doing? Total.
There's a total of 10 slides. Like 20. Okay, 10. Yeah, we're gonna have to do like part 1, 2, and 3. But the very first one, do you know what it is, TiVo?
No, homage.
It looks like a painting. It's like an Indian guy fighting somebody, like a Native American guy fighting somebody. But when I don't remember the title. Out? A long time ago. You have to watch the show.
I was going to say Action Comics has been homage. I meant Detective Comics 27 has been homage. Obviously, Amazing Fantasy 15 has been homage. I think before that.
There's so many.
There's got to be something really obscure, man. All right. Speaking of obscure, Marty, any last words?
No. Hey, great show as always. I appreciate you guys coming in and watching us and tuning in with us and join our bantering back and forth as always. Mm-hmm. And, hopefully that Lady Laura, you mentioned you won't be here Thursday, unfortunately. You'll be at the C2E2, but hopefully we'll have JB.
Booth 1316, boys and girls.
Yeah, I'll be running it. I'll be there Friday and Saturday. So stop by and say hi to me if you guys have the chance.
Tell them the Lord sent you and you'll get a free comic book.
The David Middleton one.
Joshua Middleton. Oh, my God. You guys are killing me.
All right. For Laura, Marty, JB, and Matt Damon who couldn't make it, this is TiVo. Saying keep digging in the long boxes. We see Thursday for the Shaker Show. Sans Laura. Peace.
Legends of the universe. Their mission, to fight injustice, to right that which is wrong, and to serve all mankind.
TV, that's a name I've not heard.
Know that the Lord is up there. In this, you shall know that the Lord is up there. In this, you shall know.
know that the Lord is up to you.
Deal. I'm the best there is.
You shall know that the Lord is up
to you. What's in the box?